Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Is my sound okay? Yes? Okay, great. Nice to see everybody. Welcome to a new person, Laura. okay, let me get to my thing. So, as always, it's wonderful to be here with you. I love that we support our Jewish meditation, our little Jewish sangha here, that we meet most Friday mornings, so it's lovely. And we co-create this great, spiritual, sacred space that nourishes all of us. A real blessing. So this week's Parsha, Akev, I'll just do a little recap on it, has Moses continuing to give his final address to the Israelites, promising them that if they will fulfill, observe the commandments, the mitzvot of the Torah, they will prosper in the land that they're about to conquer and settle in, that they're going to enter the land as part of the Brit, the covenant shared with Abraham and their ancestors. He reprimands them for the golden calf incident, the rebellion of Korach, the sin of the spies, and other times that they've angered God. And he reminds the Israelites that though they've been rebellious, that God is forgiving, and that God gave them the second tablets, which were inscribed by God. So the second set of tablets were placed in the ark and carried from place to place in the wilderness. And it was a constant reminder of how to behave, how to be mindful, to know that there is something greater than ourselves in the world. So Moses goes on to describe the land as flowing with milk and honey and blessed with the, quotes, seven kinds, the wheat, barley, grapevines, figs, pomegranates, olive oil, and dates. And a key passage in Akev is the second paragraph of the Shema, which describes the mitzvot and describes the rewards of filling God's commandments and the adverse results of neglecting to fulfill the mitzvot. And if you, I'm going to pause here. If you think about this in mindful or intentional actions, if we, the mitzvot are sort of like laws that govern our behavior so that we are fair and kind to each other and sort of more loving to each other. So if you think of it as that if we follow the mitzvot, it's our doing of making the world better or not better. It's not necessarily, if you look at it from a meditation or mindfulness approach, it's not really God who's punishing us. We are punishing ourselves by not following the mitzvot because we make everything so much worse for each other when we're not treating each other kindly or fairly. So I just wanted to say that before we moved on. Another thing that Akev talks about is the commandments regarding prayer and the Birkat Hamazon, the grace after meals. And you shall eat and be satisfied and bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given to you. That's from Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verse 10. So while the focus of the verse from the Birkat Hamazon is on thanking God for our nourishment, the practice of pausing, of stopping after a meal and taking in everything that we've experienced in eating the meal and being with each other creates a greater sense of awareness and gratitude for other blessings in our lives. And when we're able to become more mindful and present to ourselves and to the world around us, this shift in perspective allows us to flow more easily through the ups and downs of our daily lives. In essence, fulfilling the mitzvot is the path for living the Israelites' lives in harmony, but it's also a path for living our own lives in harmony with each other and staying aligned and connected to the divine. So tomorrow is Shat Merchavim Chodesh Elul, when we recite the prayer for the new month of Elul, which begins next Friday night. Tisha B'Av, observed 2 weeks ago, began our 7-week journey towards Rosh Hashanah, the movement toward tshuva, turning toward the divine and reestablishing our connection to the divine through honest reflection and introspection on how we live our lives and how we behave towards others, whether they're family, friends, business associates, colleagues. We begin to realign, repair, renew, reconnect, return, and repent. And as Reb Moshe says, we should be doing this all year, but for many of us, this is the time that we really focus on doing this, because we're not necessarily capable of doing this all year long. However, going to meditation every week does help. It brings us into a mindful, focused state. Elul is a month of spiritual intimacy, a time to reflect upon our lives and the lives of our loved ones, a time to return, a time to make amends, a time to allow our hearts to be filled with compassion for others, a time to be mindful of our relationships, a time to see how we miss the mark. Perhaps being more connected to a friend, a generous lover, a kinder neighbor, a more attentive family member, an engaged member of our sacred community, an active participant in racial or social justice reform. It's a time to reach out and to embrace and to let go of barriers and let go of anger. In this way, we can truly transform our world from the inside out. Hashiveinu ve'ashuva chodesh yameinu kekedem. Receive me back so I may return to my true self. Renew our days to their essence. A time to return to our true essence, our core being. A time to ask questions. Are we living our lives according to our own values? Are we choosing our actions based on what we really believe? Are we taking responsibility for the choices we make? Are we listening to the small voice within? Tshuva is the task of becoming our best selves, of aligning our actions with the divine outside of us, and the divine within each of us, that spark of the divine that we hold in our core, in our neshama, that lives within us so that we're able to make wise decisions. Rabbi Alan Liu writes in his great book, This Is Real, But You Are Totally Unprepared, the month of Elul is a time to gaze upon the inner mountains, to devote serious attention to bringing our lives into focus, a time to clarify the distinction between the will of God and our own willfulness, to identify that in us which yearns for life and that which clings to death, that which seeks good and that which is fatally attracted to the perverse, to find out who we are and where we're going. We must set aside time each day of Elul to look at ourselves, to engage in self-evaluation and self-judgment, to engage in Heshbon HaNefesh. He calls this a spiritual accounting. As we engage in tshuva, repair, realign, renew, reconnect, return, and repent, it becomes our kavanah, which literally means intention or sincere feeling, direction of the heart. Abraham Joshua Heschel, in his classic work, God in Search of Man, explains that performing a mitzvah without proper kavanah is inadequate because while it may have a positive effect on the world, it leaves the doer of the mitzvah unaffected. The purpose of Jewish practice, he writes, is the transformation of the soul. The true goal for man is to be what he does. Rabbi Max Chaikin says, our responsibility is to live in the pursuit of holiness. I see God as a process, a force that is present in each moment and in every breath, both within us and beyond us. I think of the Holy Blessing One, like our breath, constantly sustaining us and changing us, both a part of us and apart from us, connecting us to the magnificence of all creation. In meditation, we also have intention. We have intention. We have the intention of paying attention to our breath, to our body, the intention of allowing whatever arises to be embraced with loving kindness and not to push it away, to embrace it with compassion. These intentions help us to go deeper into our meditation and deeper into awareness and spacious consciousness. The Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh of blessed memory said, in cultivating right intention, we begin with an open heart, and we end with keeping our heart open. When our heart is open, we can move away from fear, from reaction, from anger and defensiveness. When we are open, compassion and goodwill can flourish. The Buddha said, if anything is worth doing, do it with all your heart. One of the Buddha's most penetrating discoveries is that our intentions are the main factors shaping our lives and that they can be mastered as a skill. Setting intention, according to the Buddhist teachings, is quite different than goal making. It is not oriented toward a future outcome. Instead, it's a path or practice that is focused on how you are being in the present moment. Your attention is the ever-present now in the constantly changing flow of life. You set your intentions based on understanding of what matters most to you and make a commitment to align your worldly actions with your inner values. The Buddha taught that there are three kinds of right intention which counter three kinds of wrong intention. These are the intention of renunciation, which counters the intention of desire, the intention of goodwill, which counters the intention of ill will, and the intention of harmlessness, which counters the intention of harmfulness. As we gain insight through our meditation practice, wise reflection, and moral living, our ability to act from our intentions blossoms. It's called a practice because it is an ever-renewing process, much like tshuva. We don't just set intentions for tshuva and then forget about them. We try to live them every day with a commitment to living each moment with the intention of not causing harm with our actions and or words and not violating others through our livelihood or sexuality. Rabbi Alan Liu writes in his book, This Is Real and You're Totally Unprepared, the great drama of this season is the drama of choice. The power of choice is immense. We can choose to let go of anger, boredom, guilt, impatience, grief, disappointment, dejection, anxiety, and despair. And we can make this choice moment by moment. And we make this choice in a broader way as well. We can let go of each constituent feeling as we become aware of it. And we can form a clear and continuous intention to let those feelings go. He teaches that tshuva, turning and returning and realigning ourselves in the right direction once again, is an endless process. When we stray from the path, make mistakes, get ourselves into trouble, our very predicament can become a gift, the agent of our turning. Humility and gratitude, it could be argued, are the most essential values for tshuva. They are at the foundation of all things positive and good because they make us look outward rather than inward. When we're humble, we realize how much we rely on others and on things that are not of our making. We know that we need others. We know how much of our lives are based on what others have done for us rather than what we've accomplished for ourselves. Humility enables us to better see ourselves in the context of the whole, to know how very small and insignificant we are in the grand scheme of life and history. And that humility feeds our sense of gratitude. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks writes, "Part of the essence of gratitude is that it recognizes that we are not the sole authors of what is good in our lives. Our actions are like pebbles thrown into a pond and then seeing all the ripples of water that come out after the pebbles are thrown in. Whatever we do causes a ripple. May we have the intention and strength to behave in a way that brings blessings into the world rather than harm." So, some questions to ponder. What helps to set your kavanah, your intention, during this journey of tshuva? What reminders do you need to remember to set your intention? How might self-reflection, introspection, and blessings become intentional, mindful tools for tshuva? And how does our meditation offer opportunity for healing the brokenness that we witness during tshuva? So let's take a moment of silence before we open it up for discussion.